Welcome, everyone, to the absolute latest Bolt from the Blue podcast. And my goodness, guys, if Carlsberg did weekends, this would be a good one. I think my guest here, Bernard, might have something to say about that. So what about this weekend then, Bernard? Did you fancy it?
What a shocker. What an absolute shocker that was. I could not believe it, mate. I was accepting both teams at home. I thought, well, one of them might struggle, get a draw or something, but for both Liverpool and Arsenal to bottle it is glorious, isn't it? I mean, I know I've sort of brought myself down to earth now by realising four of our last six games are away from home. So that sort of brought me a bit down to earth, but it was glorious while it lasts. So wonderful to see them chasing the tails and the half-empty Emirates again, which is we've had that before, haven't we? You know, and all these Arsenal fans having digs, and even Luton fans having digs at City fans because the ground was emptied at 94 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal, if you remember when I went to Arsenal three seasons on the trot, and we were beating them, and that New Year's Day one. I mean, I was looking around that ground, and you remember the snow one where there was no Arsenal fans there. It was all the City fans got there. There's no Arsenal, you know, and half the ground was bloody empty, even probably about a quarter full, the Arsenal bit. And yet that New Year's Day one where I looked round, and honestly, it was a third empty. It was terrible. And Arsenal had done this for two or three years, and nothing's ever said, but everyone sort of seems to go out of the way just to have a dig at us, because obviously we're so successful, that's the only thing they've got, isn't it? 115 and empty seats, that's all they can throw at us anymore.
Well, guys, reasons to be cheerful. Here we go.
115 reasons we'll come up with.
Well, we're top of the league. It was a perfect warm-up for Madrid. Two goals for Haaland, and he was a ghost in the 3-3 game. We had Doku.
It wasn't two goals. It was only one.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you give credit to Hashioka for that header. But
that was a cracking header. I tell you what, all credit to him, mate. I tell you, that would be goal of the season, surely.
we had Doku possibly man of the match. He was everywhere like a buzzing, flying, crazy bee. You had he scored a blinder as well. We had blinders as well from Kovacic and Gvardiol.
About Gvardiol, didn't he? He'll be shooting on sight every chance he gets now. I'm sick of it because he won't last, well, mate. He's not going to last, I'll tell you that now.
I don't know. If he keeps putting them in like that, I'll be happy. That's two in a week.
We won't be shouting, don't shoot Gvardiol anymore, will we, after those two?
And Luton must really hate Kovacic, because I think the only two goals he scored have been against them. But look at all the guys we were able to rest. Rodri, Bernardo, Grealish, Walker, maybe even Ake, Foden, all rested, all could possibly play. 20 goals now for Haaland. That's the second time that he's done it. And there's only been a couple of other guys that have ever done that in Premier League history. So
Who are the others then, Mike? You must know. You've must have read up on it.
Well, I think I did. I think Andy Cole was one of them. Yeah. But the other one escapes me. It could well have been. But anyway, enough of this. Celebrating. Let's get to the lineup anyway. The glorification. Let's talk about the lineup, Bernard.
Yeah, I've got it here. Let me just get my page up now where I've been on. What are we on? Luton Town, wasn't it? Luton Town. Here we go. I'll give you Luton's team first, because that's always fun. Kaminski, Onyedinma. Is that how you pronounce it? Onyedinma?
Yep. He had an interesting game, yep.
Yeah. All blondie, Hashioka, all blondie locks. Burke, Doughty, Chong, Barkley, Berry, Clark, Morris, and Townsend. And the bench, Shea, Krul, Woodrow, Ruddock. It wasn't Razor Ruddock, that, mate, was it? I think he's a bit old now, isn't he, Razor Ruddock?
And Johnson, a bit too fat, too, yeah.
Johnson, Harris, Chigozie, Nelson, And I love this name. I had to. This is why I've gone through the substitutes. I just love this. Piesold. P-I-E-S-O-L-D. Piesold. I love that name. I wouldn't have bothered with the substitutes normally, but I think that's a fantastic surname. I wonder what his dad did. Did he sell some pies, do you think, Mr. Piesold? And City possibly was a good one, wasn't it, mate? Edison was back. Does that mean he's back as number one now, Edison? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know for the Madrid
what do you
Madrid
think
game.
On Wednesday? Is he going to play? I honestly think he'll be all right. He'll play, and Ortega's got the glory of playing in the Cup semi-final on Saturday. So I think Edison's nailed on for Real Madrid, to be honest with you. Anyway, Edison, Luis Akanji, we'll talk about it later, obviously, before we go. Akanji, Diaz, Gvardiol, Kovacic, Nunez, De Bruyne, yes, Alvarez, Doku, and Haaland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you mention Kovacic in there?
I got nine with that, because I obviously thought he'd go Ortega. I thought Ortega had earned his stripes. And, of course, as you probably laughed at me last week when I said I thought he might start Gomez as well. But at least he got on the pitch, mate. So I wasn't far out, was I?
He did. I got on the 81st minute. But my goodness, what was it? 66 seconds for this comedy of errors, Bernard.
God, yeah.
You hardly got sitting down in your seat before that happened. But it was all KDB and Haaland. And you thought all the money in the world, Haaland's going to put that one in.
Yeah.
But it took him a comedy of errors, really, for that one to go in, didn't it? 66 seconds, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I got it down to 70 seconds. We're not going to quibble over 3 or 4 seconds, are we, mate? I thought he should have scored early. He was obviously on his weaker foot, wasn't he? He couldn't quite get onto his left, but usually even on his right at that sort of angle and going through, he's usually good enough to score those goals. All credit to Kaminski. He probably got his angles right, so it made it difficult. And, of course, he's being closed down early, wasn't he? He sort of got ahead of the defender, and then, of course, they sort of get him back to him. I think he should have perhaps scored it, but then, obviously, I think it fell to Doku, didn't it, after the keeper blocked it. And that volley of out, I mean, it was hitting the corner flag, mate. It was probably going to go out for a throw-in, in fairness. I mean, it was absolutely miles away. It wasn't going anywhere near the goal. Fantastic, you know, spectacular stuff that we expect from Haaland. And that poor Ashioka, I mean, his blonde hair was knocked back for six, wasn't it? He, poor bug, he stayed down for about 5 minutes, didn't he, after it hit him in the face. But that's what you got to do. You know, it's a hell of a lot of luck. And you thought 70 seconds, you thought how many, didn't you, at that stage? You thought, well, this is going to be a cricket score.
Yeah, poor old Hashioka. I mean, he's a Japanese international. I think that's the best goal he's ever scored, from what I've seen.
I mean, there's not many Japanese have blonde hair, is there, mate? I mean, I know there's one or two. He doesn't dye it, does he? Does he dye it, or is it natural?
Of course he dyes it. Of course he dyes it. That's a genetic thing. They don't do blonde hair.
He dyes it. Not, you know, I've not had that opportunity.
Well, you were saying about a potential deluge, but we had to wait an hour for another one. But I suppose we should talk about the rest of that first half just to give us a bit of justice to it.
Yeah, I managed to get in my story of the game. I managed to get 4 chapters out of the first half. That was it. I got 4 chapters.
Wow.
Chapter 2 was the, I think, Big Lummox went down trying to get a penalty, didn't he, on 20 minutes. KDB whipped in a free kick. And Gvardiol did very well to rise like the proverbial salmon and head it back across. Of course, Haaland claimed he was then held back when he was trying to get to it. So I think that was a bit dubious. I don't know if you saw replays on the telly, whether it's shown anything like that. But I just sort of laughed at him myself. And, I was obviously he's on my side, so I thought that was funny. Of course, we kissed the upright, didn't we? I thought that was unlucky, actually. I thought he did very, very well. That was 26 minutes. A great ball from KDB again. And it was Nunez, wasn't it? And I thought Nunez did all. Again, Kaminski, credit to him. I mean, I'll give him a bit of credit for Haaland's attempt in that first attempt. But he seemed to get his angles okay, because I thought, apart from putting it in with the outside of his right boot, Nunes, you know, Cancelo-like, he did as much as he could, really. And it was, I mean, that did go out for a throw-in. It sort of ended up kissing the post and then going out for a throw-in for Luton. So that was very close. And I don't think Nunes did much wrong. I mean, some people said he had a good game, Nunes, mate. What did you think? Some people didn't. Some people said he did. What did you think?
I think he was solid enough. I mean, he had something to make up for the previous game. So, I mean, he was tidy enough.
Yeah,
I thought
I didn't rate him dead highly, but I thought he made a good fist of it. I thought it was okay. Nothing fantastic. Of course, KDB got himself booked, didn't he, just before half time for a. It was a bit naughty. I think he made a couple of fouls, I think, hadn't he? I think it was Brooks, the referee, wasn't it? John Brooks, is it? Or Brooks. So he wasn't happy about that, but that was fine. And then did he have a bending effort as well that was palmed away for a corner late on?
I think
generally that's the major things. It was one of those games where when I got back home, and I'm like you, Mike, I always go on the Guardian timeline and have a look and try and refresh my memory as to what happened. But unfortunately, because there's a few games going on, the Guardian timeline didn't seem to bother, so I had to get the information from elsewhere.
Oh, well, that was pretty much
my memory shot. You know, if you go, how can you remember what minute that, you know, something was? It's impossible without looking back.
Yeah, well, that was pretty much your first half, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought at half time, I thought surely more will come. I mean, there's no way we're going to go into the last 10 minutes of this game 1-0 up. You just couldn't imagine it, could you? Even though we hadn't battered them as such. I don't think they had any. Did they have anything in that first half? I don't remember anything particular.
Not really. But we had to wait another 20 minutes after the second half because I thought it was going to go that way. But so tell me this, is Alvarez taking the corners now?
I think he's been doing it for a while. If Foden's not around, I think he does it anyway. He sort of takes responsibility for set pieces, doesn't he? Of course, he tries his free kicks because he scored from one once. He thinks he can score from every free kick, but unfortunately he can't. But, I think he does. If Foden's not on the pitch, I think Alvarez is the go-to guy, yeah.
Yep. So nice little give-and-go with Doku to set up an absolute weaker by Kovacic. As we said earlier on, I mean, I hope he begins to make a habit of this, because if we've got people like Rodri and Kovacic and Barriol now as well, who can do that from that kind of distance, it's looking good.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get too excited because, again, Kovacic doesn't have a great scoring record, you know, for Chelsea when he was there or before he played, you know, before he came over to this country. So he's not prolific, so I'm not going to get carried away. And the same with Guardiola. He's not had the greatest, but obviously, you know, when you miss people like Gundo, who's going to chip in with 15, 20 goals a season, it's lovely for these guys to do it. And that was super. I mean, it was just a superb goal. I mean, it bounced perfectly, I think, for him, didn't it? He sort of did it with the outside of his boot, didn't he? You know, I used to have a pair of boots, Mike. I don't know if you remember in the old, obviously, a long time when you were over here. And they had numbers on. I bought a bat and they had numbers on so you could practice hitting the ball with a certain part of the boot when I was a kid. And it had 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4. And obviously, if you wanted to swing it in, you hit it with number 2. If you wanted to do an outswing, you hit it with number 4.
Oh, my gosh. So
he must have had his numbers on his boots, because that was a cracking goal. I mean, the Kaminski was getting nowhere near it, was he? That one. Perhaps he gave him a bit too much room, Kovacic. He perhaps should have closed him down a little bit, but we're talking Luton Town out. You know, they're not brilliant, and just sat up nicely for him because it sort of bounced in front of him, and then sat up nicely for him to do a volley into the net. Absolutely superb.
It was beautiful execution. And on the point about football boots with numbers, I think that's a bit before my time, Bernard, because I had to make do with the Peter Barnes.
Hey, I had a pair of boots, Mike, and the listeners. I had a pair of boots. you know, the front studs at the front of the boot where you'd have four or six studs.
Four at the front and two at the back, didn't you? Yeah.
We had, it was a circle. They actually moved it like six studs and they swiveled round. I mean, I'm surprised it didn't break your leg. You know, the studs actually had a circle. My mum used to buy me I had a pair of Allen Ball boots, which were white ones for anyone who's not old enough to remember that. Of course, you didn't get many white pairs of boots in those days, and I got a bit of a ribbon at football, but hey, so what? You know, it's so I had a pair of Allen Ball boots and these things that swiveled around. I'm surprised they didn't break my leg, mate, to be honest. If they caught in the mud and probably split my leg open or something, but it was quite funny. But anyway, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't break your leg, Bernard. That would have been a great loss to the footballing community.
Well, this is it, mate. A football would never have recovered, would it, really?
well, there were 12 more minutes of more or less domination.
Mr. Gvardiol getting skinned before that by Onye Dinma, who obviously was involved in the next goal. But
I was just about to mention him.
Yeah, I mean... We like Mr. Smooth, we call him, don't we, Gvardiol? But he wasn't very smooth then, was he, mate? Because he actually looked as though he got it, didn't he? He actually looked as though he got to the ball. And then all of a sudden, the Onye Dinma had actually took it off him and obviously left him on his bum, you know, left him on his bum on the floor. So that if he has got a weakness, obviously he's a typical Pep defender. He can't defend, so... Yeah, we were a bit lucky to get away with that one because I think it hit the bar, didn't it? It crashed against the bar and obviously sort of fortunately went wide. I think he probably could have done better with that. It was Woodrow, wasn't it? Woodrow hit the bar. But I think, to be honest with you, I think there's a big gap to aim at. You know, he had a big thing to aim at and I think he should have done a bit better with that. But so we got away with that one. It would have been 2-1, but of course it stayed 2-0.
And, Onye Dinma certainly got the better of Gvardiol on that occasion. But one person that he had quite a bit of problems with was Doku.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And this was the third. Yeah, this was the third, and he went diving in there, and that's another goal for the big man.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, my lad said to me, he said, we obviously were up the other end. He said, well, that's so clear and obvious, you should have two penalties for that one because it's so obviously a penalty. You know, no, I don't think the VAR had to get involved, is it, with that one. Were you confident when Erling strode up to take the penalty? You were confident with Erling these days?
Pretty much, yeah. Not quite as confident as maybe Vieira or... Who was our other Balotelli? Because they just couldn't miss.
Yeah. I must admit,
he's not exactly.
He went the wrong way, didn't he, Kaminski? I must admit, I always try and think which way it's going to go, and I must admit, I would have gone the way that it went. I would have gone the correct way, and I don't think he was right in the corner. I think if the goalie had picked right, I think he might have saved that. But hey, it doesn't matter. I've seen there's loads like that, isn't there? Where you see these. You know, they celebrate them, the players celebrate as though they won the World Cup sometimes when they score a goal like that. When it's not in the middle, it's not in the corner, it's right. You know, if the goalie had chose right, he would save it. But no, I'm glad he scored that because obviously he wasn't going to get that first goal, was he? So, as you say, it took him to do, is it 20 goals for this season?
Well, that's right. That's right. And, you know, you mentioned. Ederson and Nunes earlier, and they gifted a goal to Barkley, and we talked a little bit about Barkley.
I like Barkley. I liked him in the first game. I think he's probably not good enough for City. Don't get me wrong, he's not probably good enough for our level, but I do like Barkley. Do you when I was at the match, I thought Ederson sold him a little bit. Put him under too much pressure, to be honest with you, Nunes. But watching it back, it was just a lack of control, Mike. It just miscontrolled it, didn't he?
He did indeed. He did indeed. And that was, I think, to be fair, it was really the only blot on his copybook in this particular game. But Barkley did well to pull one back. But I was never particularly worried about that because I just knew that we were on it. For this game, and obviously that made the travelling Luton support quite happy. They were quite noisy. It seemed to be from the way in which I was watching. But I have to feel sorry for this guy, Odin Yinma, because this time, for number four, he was not going to take a chance with Doku this time, was he? And that was what you would call a slalom goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I called it a jiving Doku ran into the area. It was just, it is what he does. It's as simple as that. That's what, and sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it perhaps will hit a defender's legs and it won't work. And that's just what we get with Doku, isn't it? And it was absolutely fantastic. It went through the legs, of course. Went through his legs. So the goalkeeper really wouldn't have seen it until late anyway. And it's just another great goal from Doku. Nice to get it for him to get one on target. He's not been that great at getting him on target recently, has he? So that'll do his confidence a lot of good going forward.
Well, indeed, and that's where I thought it would stop. But no, we had your Mr. Smooth with an absolute blinder, just to put the icing on the cake a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't actually shout "Don't shoot," but I would have normally done that. But 2-2 for old Josko, so yeah, another blast. I mean, very similar to Kovacic in a way, wasn't it? Of course, Kovacic was more of a volley. This was more from the ground, of course. But I don't know. It's just let's hope it continues, because I've no doubt he might get another. Well, Aki's still hovering around and on the bench. Guardiola's guaranteed a starting spot. So it'll give him the confidence, and our Mr. Smooth will carry on. And I'm pretty happy about that. As I say, took off. Obviously, it helped him, the fact he got skinned earlier in that half. It'll probably give him more confidence as well.
Yeah. Now, people after the game were talking about it being a wonderful warm up from Madrid, but it was Luton. We have to sort of accept that it was Luton. What did you think? Who was your man of the match, by the way?
It's funny actually, because my lad said, "Oh, Doku's had a great game," and you said that before, so I have a feeling he might be near your man of the match. But I said to Martin, I thought Kovacic, and then obviously, literally 10 seconds later, it came over the system, the tannoy, that he'd been given the City man of the match, Kovacic. So it might just look to be laughed, you know. But I thought Kovacic was excellent throughout the game. Considering, don't forget, he was obviously playing the Rodri role, but he was also getting forward like Rodri can do. So I think he again, as you say, you can only, it's only Luton Town, but no disrespect to Luton, you can only play against who you're playing against. And I thought he was exceptional. I thought he had a great game. But not everyone thought that. I mean, of course, I think Simon Bukowski, Evening News, give it, I think he was split between Doku, I think, and someone else. I can't remember who he said now, but so he wasn't unanimous, but I thought Kovacic. Were you on Doku then?
Yeah, Doku, and even perhaps a little controversially, maybe not so controversially, but I thought KDB was very, very influential as well.
Had a couple of assists, wasn't he, on another day, of Haaland and Daddy Zion and a couple of the other guys. I think he did two or three cracking balls that didn't quite get the finish they deserved.
Well, now this is a very, very interesting situation that we're in now. I think we've pretty much mentioned all of the players here, apart from the back four. Well, maybe we've talked a little bit about Guardiol, but Diaz, Akanji, Lewis, nothing much to do with they didn't really have much to exert themselves with in this game.
No, it was. I thought it was a good team display. I thought Luton didn't offer much. I think they had four shots, did they, overall, a couple on target in the game. I wasn't disappointed with them. I thought they did as much as they could do, you know, and when they could get forward, they tried. But as I say, yeah, you couldn't sort of put too much into Lewis's performance. He was certainly very, very adequate. I thought Akanji was standout, really, in the limited amount he had to do, and Diaz as well. And, of course, Edison, you know, sort of, well, apart from the goal, you wouldn't say, yeah, he had a blinder, but, you know, what else did he have to do? Not a lot. Would Ortega have done any better? Probably not. It would have been the same. So it could bode well for Edison to get the next game. But, I don't think it was a fantastic, you know, a stunning performance by anyone individually. Apart, say, Doku stands out. Don't forget, Alvarez was playing, mate. What the hell? Where was he playing? I have no idea where Alvarez is. I still don't know where Pep plays Alvarez. Every time I do a player ratings, I just say I'm not sure what he was supposed to be doing today. And I'm not going to blame Alvarez because obviously Pep's got him doing a little bit of job. Of course, we know Bernardo there. Perhaps he expected Alvarez to do a bit more of the donkey work. But do you know, mate? I get totally. I mean, he wasn't playing up. You know, I thought once Haaland went off, but that was late on. He'd play up at number nine. But I'm not convinced where Pep's playing him half the time.
Well, on all of the graphics, he's always on the right hand side with KDB in the middle, Doku or someone else on the other side. But he's what you would call a striker come winger. I would think he's expected to put in a shift under Pep as well, which he probably was not used to.
You see him because he takes responsibilities for the corners and stuff like that. But you know, you don't see him, as you say, he's on the right, but you don't see him zipping any crosses in or doing anything, do you? So I do puzzle over Alvarez, and I don't think it's his fault. I think he's got to find a role, and I'm not too sure he's found it at City at the moment. You know, after the glory of the World Cup last season, I thought he'd go on leaps and bounds, but I don't think it's particularly his fault. I think it's just the team this year, the team that Pep's been playing this year. He's asking players to do certain things and not limiting them, but obviously they're not not allowed to sort of free reign, are they? So Alvarez isn't probably allowed to do what he'd perhaps like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he probably wasn't the happiest person in the world when we bought our League Two player, Haaland. And that was his position. His natural position kind of dissolved, but at least we were able to rest KDB and Haaland on the 81st minute. I think it was. He brought on Gomez and Oscar Bob for those two. Yeah. I don't know if that was much of a break. How many extra minutes did the referee put on? Was it six?
I think the ball went up for four or five, but I think we ended up playing six or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so they got about 15 minutes rest. I don't know if that means very much.
Goal difference, mate, didn't it? And I mean, as I said, when it went 3-1, I thought we'd sort of just settle at 3-1. But of course, plus four goals, and if the weekend went, we've closed the gap a little bit, haven't we?
We have indeed, and I do read some of the pieces in The Guardian and The Times, and they made some very interesting points, because obviously City had that game won and their feet up before the two main rivals played, and they just described it in very funny terms. Like, Liverpool have gone behind first in a game 14 times, and this time they just went to the well one time too many, and they couldn't get back in it. So that was 1-0. And then Arsenal, just classic bottlers, because they came out in a very celebratory mood, you know, because the Liverpool had lost, and here's their big chance, and they bottled it, mate. They bottled it.
Yeah. Did you watch?
And so that was that.
Did you watch that?
I was just following the text by text highlights.
Yeah.
But did you watch it at all? Do you watch either of those games?
I have that much to do with various bits and bobs. I watch City, and I do, unless it's something really, really important. If it was the last game of this, you know, two games to go or something. But I think I'd be too nervous, Mike. I mean, it's bad enough watching City. I can't watch other teams hoping they lose, because it's too disappointing if they win.
Well, we're 2 points clear. What's next for City then, Bernard?
Right, well, we've got a big week coming up, Mike, haven't we? Of course, we'll probably have another one after the big Madrid game, of course, on Wednesday night. Real Madrid, who now got a win at Mallorca over weekend. So they're virtually assured the La Liga. I think they're 8 points clear with about six games left or something like that. So I don't think Barca are going to stop them winning the league. So Mr. Ancelotti will have the league title as compensation because we're going to stuff them, mate, aren't we, on Wednesday? I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. We're on a roll now. They'll be panicking. The Spanish journalists are saying it's a daunting task for Real Madrid to come to the cauldron that is the Etihad. You know, although obviously perhaps not so much against Luton, but it's Real Madrid, mate. It's as simple as that. We'll not look forward to the semi-final on Saturday yet because we might have another little show before then. But we've got to do the business, mate. If we can do this, the confidence it will give us will be immense. I can't see Real Madrid. They've got a suspension, but I can't see Real Madrid changing the team too much. I do worry, as I said last week, that Vinny Jr. and Rodrigo will be a bit more effective this time. Of course, you had Aki and Walker on the bench, didn't we? So, I don't know. Do you think either of them will be available for this one, Mike? What do you think?
It's just impossible to say, but you would assume they were both on the bench for Luton.
They were only on the bench because they asked to be on the bench. That's what he actually said about Aki and Walker. Now, obviously, you say that with a pinch of salt, as we always do when Pep says things. But I'm thinking one of them might make it. I'm thinking one is, but he's not going to play. I tell you what, he's got that much faith in the other guys at the moment that unless they're 100% and the physios, etc., 100%. I can't see either of them starting this game. I think Pep will have confidence in the team that did the job over in the Bernabeu. We're at home. They're going to be a bit more, not tentative, but they're going to be a bit more wary because I don't think they certainly travel in Europe that well. Certainly to England playing English teams, I don't think they travel that well. So I think if Walker's 100%, then yes, I'd start him. But there's a possibility Pep will say, right, these guys have done it for me. Stones is a bit of a problem, isn't he? Because, again, he wasn't even in the squad, was he, Mike, for this Luton game?
No.
So he's another, you know, if he's not going to be in the squad for this, that, for me, it tells me he can't make it. So, in other words, if Stones isn't there, then, yeah, would we rely on Lewis? He'd probably do a job, but I wouldn't say he was great against Luton defensively on weekend. So I'm just hoping Walker is 100% fit to be back. I'd love to see Aki, but I'll be happy with Guardiola there, you know, as long as he don't get skinned again by Rodrigo on the right, which could possibly happen if they're a bit more positive this time. So it'll be interesting. As I say, we're still wondering over a couple of players, aren't we? Walker and Aki. And I'm hoping Walker will play. And I can see five changes to that Luton team for the visit of Madrid.
Well, there were four other people that a lot of people fancy to start against Madrid on the bench against Luton. That was Grealish,
yeah.
Rodri, Bernardo and Foden. They'll all play, won't they?
Guaranteed, mate. Yeah, nailed on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was only Rodri that was asking not to play, but he got his wish anyway.
He might say, well, you can miss another one now. We did all right without you, but no, he's not going to do that. not at this stage of proceedings. So I think Kovacic, looking at my team that I've picked for Pep's 11, I've picked it a couple of days ago. I've seen no reason particularly change it. I'll run through it anyway, Mike, if you want. I have stuck Walker in. Of course, if there's no Walker and there's no Stones, flipping heck, I don't know, mate. Akanji could do it as right back and bring Kovacic in somewhere. But anyway, this is the 11 I've come up with Walker. Edison, I think Edison will start. I don't think Ortega will get the semi-final now on Saturday as a compensation. I think Edison will start. Walker, Akanji, Diaz, Guardiola, Rodri, Bernardo, KDB, Foden, Grealish and Haaland. So that's it. And if there's no Walker, if Walker's not fit enough, he probably, you know, would he take a risk on Lewis? I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not sure about that at all. But I think the reports I've read about Walker's state of fitness are really quite promising. So probably go for that. And I'm just like you. I'd love to have Ake instead of Guardiola on the other side.
Defensively, he's great. Guardiola's, you know, say, Mr. Smooth. Having said that, mate, if he pops up with a goal and he clinches it, we'll have that, won't we?
Yeah, so I think that the people that are going to miss out, probably Doku, probably Alvarez.
He's not going to play Grealish and Doku. So it's just Grealish is definitely nailed on. As you said, he missed the game against Luton. He's back in his good, back in the good books. He's back to some sort of form that we saw last season. He's the sort of player that will tease and annoy Real Madrid, and that's what we want. Hopefully we can get a quick goal or two, and the stadium will be bouncing, and hopefully we can do it what we did last season in the semi-final.
Yeah, that would be perfect. But we're going to have to press you. We're going to press you on that point, Bernard, on a predicted scoreline.
You know what, mate? I was looking at it and I thought, well, I don't want to go 3-1 because that's what everyone does. It's a safe thing, but I could see them scoring again, like we said last week, and they're going to score. I think Madrid will score. Simple as that. It's just the fact we've got to score more than them. So I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet like last season, because I don't think Madrid have got anything to lose. They've got to have a go, haven't they? There's no reason why they wouldn't have a go. It's as simple as that. As I say, they're almost guaranteed their own La Liga, so they don't have to save anybody. So they'll go strong, As I said, it was easy to go 3-1, but I've been very bold, Mike. I've gone 4-2 for City.
4-2 for City.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going 3-2 for City. Just the pessimist in me. Yeah. But either way, I don't care if it's a last minute goal, you know, in the 96th minute, you know, just so long as we get past them and make it through to the semi-final in good form without any injuries.
Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that Munich-Arsenal game, of course. That'll be very, you know, who would you rather have if we do get through past Real Madrid? Would you rather have Arsenal or Bayern Munich?
I'd have Arsenal, because they need to be taught a lesson, you know, about who, you know, who's the top dog in this league, you know. So I'd probably take them. Bayern Munich, obviously they've lost their league. Mr. Alonso and, is it Leverkusen, that have walked away with it?
Is that the first time they've ever won it, Leverkusen?
I would have to go back and check that out.
I don't think you've ever won the Bundesliga before, I don't think.
Well, he's already ruled himself out of taking over from Klopp, so, I mean, there's that. So hard cheese to the Scousers.
I noticed a bit of criticism of your thumbnail for our last podcast.
Of course.
Few comments about Ancelotti saying no chance.
I'm just thinking, you know, when the day comes, who would be better? Who would be better?
I agree with the detractors. He's far too old to take over at City. So I can fully understand. I'm on their side, mate. I thought that was, you know, rubbish, absolute rubbish, mate.
Well, it was a nice little graphic anyway. I just couldn't resist that lovely little raised eyebrow that he has. Yeah. You know, when he's asked a question by a journalist, you know, it's almost a stupid question.
He is a legend as a manager, isn't he? You know, all credit to him. He's done the business, and you can't argue with that, can he? He's a bit old school, obviously, now, which is good. I think if Real Madrid perhaps had a younger manager, and I'd be more worried. I think Ancelotti's not past it, but I think he's reached his peak, and we're going to teach his boys another lesson, hopefully.
Well, we're hopefully a few years from having to discuss that too much. But any other matters, Bernard, that you didn't get a chance to talk about, or are we pretty much done?
Yeah, I've noticed the obviously the building of the new North Stand now at the back. Mm-hmm. And of course, the hotel's going to be quite close as well. But you can see the sort of the gird, you know, the steelwork for the thing, and it's quite far back. So you can imagine how big that end's going to be once they do it. It's quite, it looks as though it's going to be an absolutely enormous. All right, not as big as perhaps as Tottenham's end, if you like, but of course it's all one level. It's not going to be two tiers like, of course, the South Stand was. So it's all going to be a big one thing, isn't it? So I've noticed the boxes, the boxes are not used now. You know, the boxes at the back of the stand in the family stand. Yeah, they're not being used. The executive boxes. So it'd just be interesting to see how it develops. But it's nice to see it at last some sort of steel work. It looks as though after the foundations have been put down. And of course, the arena opens very, very soon. And we've got I think when we play Wolves, mm-hmm. I think there's a concert the same night. And so that'll be interesting to see how the transport network works, mate, because it's not the greatest in Manchester, as you probably know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'll be interested to see. I mean, I've been walking back to Piccadilly all season because I thought they'd got rid of the season card fast track for the Metro, and until I found out a couple of weeks ago they hadn't. And so I could have saved my legs for half the season, but obviously but it'd be interesting because obviously I think the concert starts just, I think most people will be arriving for the concert when we finish our game with Wolves or vice versa or whatever it is. So it'd be, it could be chaos, mate, but we'll have to wait and see. But hopefully the stand will look nice and we'll be able to fill it. That more importantly, we'll be able to fill it. And I believe I don't know where this came from. Of course, we sold our Wembley tickets out, didn't we, for the Chelsea game last week. But I've heard it said that we actually ended up selling 37,000. We were originally given 34,000. I've heard that we were given some more. That might be bull, you know. I mean, some people come up with this and they have no, you know, where have you got that from? Oh, I don't know, I heard it, sort of thing. But and Chelsea were still struggling. I'm assuming Chelsea will eventually sell out. But it's just nice with all the stick we get. But of course, the opposing fans didn't have a chance to send us screenshots of what we hadn't sold this time, which is what they usually do, isn't it? So that was nice.
Exactly.
It's just nice from a personal point of view to sell out, so we're not having to defend ourselves. You know, it's flipping out another semi-final. We're not going back. You know, we can't afford all this. But having said that, you know, I must admit, I would have been a bit perturbed because, like myself, I'm getting to a couple of away games, of course, over the next few days. But you know, a lot of City fans haven't had the chance to travel this season because tickets have been very, very hard to come by. It's getting harder mm-hmm. to get the tickets. So if we hadn't, you know, I thought, well, I would have been a bit disgusted if we hadn't sold out, of course, the semi-final, because a lot of City fans like myself have not had to spend the money this season because we've just not been able to get to a lot of away games. So it would have been disappointing, but it's nice to know we sold out, you know, with a couple of weeks to spare. That's as I say, there's more of us in there than Chelsea. That'll be even better.
Well, I doubt there'll be too many empty seats against this for this game against Madrid. And let's hope
I'm just hoping it's good fans. There'll be a few tourists, of course, the world. There's always bound to be. There's a lot of tickets go on sale at these independent travel agents and stuff, don't they? I mean, you're talking sometimes hundreds of tickets. So I don't know where they get them from. I have no idea. That's another pod in itself, and it's been discussed over the years and it's never been sorted out. But it's if you've got money, Mike, let's face it, if you're loaded, you can get to any football match in the world you want, can't you? Let's be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing we're ever going to stop, because it's always going to be like concerts, isn't it? It doesn't matter. You know, the ordinary guys might struggle to get a ticket, but if you've got the money, you'll always get a ticket from somewhere.
That'll be packed out, and hopefully it's a great atmosphere, and it's a good point to finish on. So we'll be back with you guys after that game, and hopefully both of us are right. Hopefully Bernard's right with that scoreline. That would be absolutely perfect. Let's see if we can make it happen. So we'll say ta-ra for now. We'll be back with you after that game, so we'll finish off in the normal way by saying, have one on us, and up those Blues!
Up the Super Blues.